WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. The co-star of Grumpy Old Men used to be a sex kitten. Anne Margaret got her start in films like State Fair, in which she gave Eddie Fisher his first film kiss, Bye Bye Birdie, in which she got one last kiss from a swivel-hipped rock and roller, and Viva Las Vegas, in which she got her kiss from Elvis himself. Anne Margaret has written an autobiography about her life on and off camera. Her career was launched by George Burns, who put her in his Christmas act in Vegas in 1960. She wanted to wear a great outfit when she performed with him, so she went shopping and picked up what she thought was the perfect thing, an orange-red velvet pantsuit.
Oh, please. I had never been in this real chic boutique, ever. I was too scared to, and of course I knew that the prices were way beyond what I had. So I gathered all the money I had together because I wanted to get this real spiffy outfit. And it was bright orange-red velvet pantsuit. And I thought, well, this is terrific. So on opening night day at the dress rehearsal, I wore this. And I just was so excited. I couldn't wait to show Mr. Burns. I said, and then he saw me. And he came over and he said, what's that? I said, well, oh, this is what I'm going to wear tonight. Isn't it terrific? Is this beautiful? Look at the velvet and everything. He says, what happened to the sweater and pants that you wore for the audition? The tight sweater and the tight pants. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, Annie, people don't only want to hear your voice. They want to see where it's coming from. And I never, ever forgot about that. Not to this day, I haven't forgotten about it.
So you took off the velvet pantsuit and put on tight pants and a tight sweater and heels?
Yes, but then something weird happened. Again, two or three nights later, the waitresses who, they were so dear to me. I'm 18 years old at the time. They were very protective of me, and they thought that that was the wrong image of me. So they went to Gracie Allen, and they said, please tell Mr. Burns, you know, we don't think that that outfit is right. So Gracie went to Mr. Burns, and he asked me, do you have a dress? And, of course, the only dress that I had was the one that I had worn on that Jack Benny show, TV show, where Mr. Burns introduced me. This was like a couple of weeks before. I only had three outfits to my name. So, of course, I put that on, and everyone was happy.
But, I mean, finally, I think the tight pants and sweater image became something of your image, didn't it?
Yes, I did my 20th Century Fox screen test in that. You know, the first part was an acting sequence for the part of the Jeannie Crane role in State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part is called the personality test. That's when I let my hair go, and I had black tights and a bright red top. And in fact, I still have that top. And when the president saw it, president of 20th Century Fox saw it, he decided that I should play the other part, the Vivian Blaine part, the woman from the other side of the tracks.
That you'd be not the good girl, but the rambunctious girl.
That was from the personality test where I did Bill Bailey, won't you please come home, and moved around and stuff. And so with that, they bleached my hair bright orange, and I became the bad girl.
Mm-hmm. Now let me take you back to Bye Bye Birdie. How did you get the part?
Well, Mr. George Sidney told me much later, he had seen me, I was with a date at the Sands Hotel, and it was on New Year's Eve, and we were, I was dancing with his friend because my date didn't know how to do the twist. So I was twisting with this terrific dancer. And Mr. Sidney saw me there and thought of me at that point for Bye Bye Birdie.
He thought you'd be the perfect teenager?
Yes. And I had this bright orange hair from, I had done State Fair. And this was what? Well, this was New Year's Eve. And in May, I was called in to read for the part, or just to meet Mr. Sidney. And I looked everywhere to find an appropriate outfit. Boy, it took me like a whole day to find a cardigan sweater, pleated. I only had one pleated skirt, rust-colored, low-heeled shoes. I only had one pair of those. I never wore them. And I went in very demure and sat there. And he had the hardest time, he told me later, not from laughing out loud, because he knew that was so like me.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Anne Margaret, and she's written a new memoir called Anne Margaret. We're going to take a short break and then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Anne Margaret, who's written a new memoir. Now, it's funny because, you know, in Bye Bye Birdie, there's the character of Conrad Birdie, who is, you know, loosely based on Elvis Presley. And then right about the same time as Birdie, you ended up working with Elvis Presley on Viva Las Vegas.
Isn't that weird? It's just so uncanny. And I had never seen him perform, ever.
Did you, you knew his records, though?
I had heard his records, yes, but I'd never seen him move. And when I first met him at this rehearsal hall, you know, we were both very shy and very well-mannered, very polite. And then we started moving. I say this in the book. I mean, it was just, it was the weirdest thing. I look over at him, and he's moving with the same kind of, well, I'm not going to tell you what kind of movements that I was doing.
Some kind of swivel you're talking
about? Below the waist. But we both felt it the same way. So it was quite a pleasant rehearsal.
Now, you started seeing each other while making Viva Las Vegas, right?
Yes.
So what was it like for you to have a relationship with somebody who, I mean, you were a celebrity, he was an icon by then, and people just fantasize and project onto people like you and he. So can a real-life relationship measure up to the fantasies that people have about what a relationship with a person like that would be?
Sure. Sure. We had a great time, absolutely great time. I will cherish those memories of the 14 years of being friends with him all my life.
How long were you actually seeing each other?
Oh, let's see, probably a year, year and a half, something like that. Mm-hmm. But we did remain friends. And actually, Roger and he got along really great.
This is your husband, Roger
yes.
Smith? Let me get to your 1971 film, Carnal Knowledge, which you got many very good reviews. In this movie, you played somebody who, you know, was beautiful and sexy, but had become something of a victim to that because she was in such a demeaning relationship with a man.
The problem, and I know several women like this and several men like this. The problem with the Bobby Templetons of the world and whoever we will say is the counterpart, whatever man, they choose the wrong mate. They do not have any self-esteem. They sort of know, they really deep down inside know that this person is going to destroy them, but they just are, they're sick, they're ill. They keep going from man to man, it's the same man.
But you're in your book, it seems like you had a lot of troubles while you were making that picture.
Well, I became the person. I had nightmares about that one.
You were afraid something like that would happen to you?
No. I started, it was a terrible thing with the sleeping pills and the, you know, substance abuse.
Mm-hmm. Was it the first movie that you'd had that problem with?
I had trouble with abuse. I didn't do it during the movie. I did not do it on screen, mm-hmm. not during work. I had a problem with it for about 5 years, and I took care of it.
I want to quote something that you said back in 1971. This was in Look magazine. And you said that your husband, quote, has complete autonomy over me. After all, I enjoy being a girl, having someone to take care of me, being told where to go and what to do. Would you still say that about yourself?
No. That was within my five-year period.
What five-year period?
Yes, the drinking. So I would just really leave everything to him. Now I'm a little ornery. No. After I came out of that fog, the first time actually when I said to Roger, no, I don't want to do that. He did a double take. Huh? But he was real proud of me. He really liked it, and to this day, he just loves it. The more and more independent I get, the more he loves it.
So had you ever wanted to be independent before that?
I was independent, actually, monetarily, since the first time I sang with a band.
I mean more emotionally.
I don't know. I'm an only child. My father had the last word, and I was used to that. And Roger was and is very much a father figure, and he protects me, and I enjoy that. But I know that I can do all these things alone. I just don't choose to. I can open up my own door. I just don't like to.
Why don't you like to? Why would you want a man to open a door for you?
Because I just think it's civilized.
To defer to a man when you need to walk through a door?
Oh, are you trying to get to me?
I'm just curious.
You trying to get to me?
I'm trying to understand the impulse.
That's the way I was brought up, you know? Mm-hmm. I know we're from different generations. And, you know, I'm not 95 now, and... but I enjoy all that.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Ah, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Ann Margaret has written a new autobiography.
When you're a skinny child of 15, wired with braces from ear to ear, you doubt that you will ever be appealing. Then, hallelujah, you are 16 and the braces disappear, and your skin is smooth and clear, and you have that happy grown-up female feeling. Lovely to be a woman, the wait was well worthwhile. How lovely to wear mascara and smile a woman's smile. How lovely to have a figure that's round instead of flat. Whenever you hear boys whistle, you're what they're whistling at. It's wonderful to feel.
Ann Margaret from the soundtrack of Bye Bye Birdie. This is Fresh Air.